Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save big money at
Menards. Cairo, Seattle.
It's time to get schooled with a professor, Sean Clayton.
And welcome to Schooled with a Professor. We are pleased to be joined by Steve Weisch, NFL reporter for NFL Network, and also you can follow him at Weisch89, along with doing some all these different things. But of course, I guess the big story, as a former beat writer for the Falcons, and not for the Falcons, but covering the Falcons, what was your reaction to the Julio Jones trade, and who won, who didn't win? How do you evaluate it?
Well, I mean, I knew it was coming. I think we all knew it was coming, yeah. You know, once, you know, it was reported that he asked for a trade. And look, things have not been great with Julio in the organization. Gosh, probably dating back to this time last year, if not longer. So, you know, this is really no surprise. And I think the losing of last year and him being hurt just compounded things. So with a regime change, it was probably a good time for him to be out. So the fact that, you know, he's going to Tennessee for a second round pick, which is probably going to be a back end too, because the Titans should be really good. It goes to show you that even though there were competing offers for Julio, because he's a competing bid, this was the best the Falcons could get. And I think, look, they were willing to take this all the way to training camp, but they seem to have gotten the feeling that it really was going to get much better than this. So let's go ahead and do it now. Clear the cap space so they can sign their rookies, give themselves a little bit of flexibility to maybe do something with some other veterans and continue to move on so this isn't hanging over. So it's hard to tell who won, but I mean, what the Falcons did by getting another second round draft pick is they did, if they're not very good this year, they do have some draft capital to move up, especially if they get to the quarterback sweepstakes after the season.
What caused Julio to turn against the team last year? What was it, a contract thing? Cause he's making $22 million.
Yeah.
Bucks.
Yeah. I mean, I think there was, you know, some stuff with the contract. I just think he got a little tired of the way things were going there as well, especially the losing. So, look, Julio was still getting his balls. He was still getting the yards when he was healthy. He was still, you know, one of the top two or three best receivers in the NFL. But personally, some of the stories you hear, he just wasn't thrilled to be part of that organization. And he made that clear to Arthur Smith, through his agent, I believe, once, you know, Smith was hired, that, you know, look, if you can get me out of here, please get me out of here, because I don't want to be there. And so, you know, look, and the one thing I'll say this, John, and you know this as a longtime veteran of the league, if you're a new regime and you're trying to establish credibility and make your organization a destination for free agents, good coaches, whatever, if you haven't got a good player like him, somebody who's meant a lot to the club, you don't want to trade him to NFL Siberia, right? So they traded him to a good team. So that even though, you know, they traded a fan favorite, they didn't like crap all over him. They traded him someplace where he can go and finish his career out on a high note. That really, you know, eliminates, you know, some of the bad blood and possibly allows for healing if there is any, you know, any more need to be, you know, for things to be repaired moving forward.
Was he okay with Matt Ryan? I don't know, did he have any problems with Matt at all?
I mean, you hear some things that, you know, they weren't necessarily the best of friends. They didn't go out to dinner, you know, but you hear that all the time. But, you know, they look at how successful they were with one another.
Right.
I mean, even when Julio was healthy last year, they were doing it. So whether they got along or whether they didn't off the field, on the field, the chemistry was there. So, and I think, you know, when we're talking about it, that's all that really matters.
What do you see happening as far as, because I know that Curtis Ridley just had a little bit of a procedure, and so he's banged up right now. I know that Kyle Pitts, which of course now you know why they probably took Kyle Pitts over Penei Sewell, because they figured that Julio was going to be gone. But how good do you think that offense can be?
We'll see. You know, look, the one thing that is key to an Arthur Smith offense is the running game. right? So they've got Mike Davis, who's a big power back, and he played really well for parts of last season when he was at Carolina. But what do they have behind him? I mean, Cordero Patterson's kind of a spot back. He's not necessarily number two. He's a guy you can do some things with him. And so if the run game's not working the way it's supposed to do, then this is all for naught. But in terms of the passing game, Matt Ryan is who he is. Calvin Ridley's a legitimate number one wide receiving option. And the guy no one talks about, you know, I know we're talking about Kyle Pitts, is Russell Gage. He was a number three wide receiver last year, and he was pretty good. I mean, you look at his numbers, they're really good for a number three wide receiver. And go back and watch a game like the Dallas game last year and how effective he was, especially in certain down and distance situations. So they have options there. But right now, it's not like defensive coordinators are saying, okay, we've got a scheme for this guy or that guy other than Calvin Ridley. And that's where if you're doubling up or you put a lockdown guy on him, that changes how you have to run your offense if you can't run the ball.
Yeah. The one issue, though, I think, is the offensive line, because remember a couple years ago that, you know, they ended up using two first-round picks on offensive linemen, and I know McGrady over at the right tackle position from Washington has struggled. I mean, where do you see the offensive line right now?
Yeah, I mean, that's an issue. That's an issue now. Remember what they did when Dirk Cutter's running this offense is they were throwing the ball 9,000 times a game. I mean, look at Matt Ryan's attempts. Both times Dirk Cutter was the OC there, it's insane. So, again, I think that's where if they can get to a blocking scheme and they run the ball more, and you know this well, John, you can mask weaknesses in your offensive line. Excuse me. If you can run the ball and you get them to play on a thread, you know, everyone doing unison, whether it's that stretch zone scheme, which is what Arthur Smith runs, or whether if it's man blocking. If they can play on a thread and play smart, you can cover up some of the holes. But in terms of pass protection, a legitimate concern. Now, that's the one thing they did. Remember, Hayden Hurst is there as the other tight end. You know, they're going to be running a lot of 12 personnel, one running back, two tight ends. So he can be kept in, or Pitts can be kept in from time to time for pass protection schemes to help things out. But again, this is where strategically they cannot get behind the sticks, meaning on first down, they've got to get at least 4+ yards. So on second down, they're really looking at second and fives more and more. They're looking at second and eights, where teams can just really start to load up on them because you can get predictable. So that's what they have to do. That's a big question mark. And look, when you look at the rest of the division too, you know, there's some question marks in New Orleans about Jameis. You don't know what Sam Darnold's going to be in Carolina, but just overall with the Falcons schedule to see them, you know, finish +500, I think that would be considered a huge success based on how that roster looks right now.
So what do you see from Tennessee? What is the addition of Julio Jones does to their offense?
It's frightening. It's absolutely frightening because now, tell me a team that isn't going to be a nickel most of the time, right? You have to be a nickel, if not dime, almost every down that A.J. Brown and Julio Jones are on the field because of their capabilities. And no matter where they are on the field, even if you're in the red zone, you have got to be able to double one, if not both of them. So what does that do? It opens up Derrick Henry. Okay, so now you go to your base defense. Boom. Julio Jones or A.J. Brown is available. Now, the one thing, you know, that the tight end situation, remember, that was an Arthur Smith, what he loved to do. He loved to utilize the tight ends as well. Will the tight end still be as much of a factor? We'll see. But, I mean, this is a dangerous, dangerous offense. But, you know, the one thing, you know, when it comes to Julio is durability. You know, we've seen him get nicked last year. What, he played 10 games, I think, maybe. We've seen him get nicked. He's got to stay on the field for this whole thing to work, and that's the risk. That's why a lot of teams were not willing to give up a first round or even a back end one to get to Julio because he's 32. He's got a massive salary for the next 2 years, and there's that durability concern. So that, to me, is the only real issue on offense. Tennessee's defense has to get better. They can't get after the passer. That's been their big Achilles heel for years. You know, they don't have anybody who can win one-on-one. They've got to scheme up pressure. And that's not necessarily an ideal thing when you're playing in a division with an Indianapolis and you're playing an AFC. I think that's going to be fairly deep, you know, when you look at some of the teams in the conference.
So where do you put the battle between the Titans and the Colts right now for the AFC South? Which team is better,
Ooh.
Or are they pretty close?
Ooh. I mean, look, I've got to give it to Tennessee because, you know, Ryan Tannehill's a pretty steady quarterback. You know, he's reliable. You don't know where it's going to get out of Carson Wentz. That's the big thing. Oh, the Colts are a Super Bowl contender if Carson Wentz can return to his old form. You know, look, they're not going to ask – the Colts will not ask of him what Philadelphia did because if they can run the ball. They've got that great offensive line that can mash. They've got a defense that's going to get takeaways and going to force punts that's going to give possessions back to the offense. It's just a matter of if Carson Wentz can do his thing. If he does, I give it to the Colts, but that's the if thing. Right now, John, I still have to say Tennessee because their quarterback situation is just a little bit more reliable. It's not a lot more reliable.
Yeah, what's interesting is that Tannehill was the one who opened up his pocket to open up the cap room to be able to get that $15.3 million salary in of Julio Jones. And the irony of it is, they're both on three-year contracts, at least 3 years remaining on their contracts, two after this year. So they could be together for 3 years because there's no way that Tannehill – it's kind of like the Matt Ryan deal in Atlanta, by him pushing base salary and replacing it with signing bonus, there's no way that Matt Ryan's not going to be he'll be there for a couple more years.
Well, he'll be there this year.
Yeah.
We'll see. Look, this is the one thing, like we just saw them do with Julio by pushing it to June 1. They can do that the following season with Matt Ryan. If Matt Ryan just looks like this is it for him, they can June 1 cut or trade him next year, push that salary cap number into the future years, and with the cap going to go up, significantly in 2023, that'll be a little bit more palatable to eat that type of dead money.
Interesting. As far as other quarterbacks, what's your read on the Aaron Rodgers situation? Is he going to take a holdout into the regular season and force the trade?
I don't know. I don't think it's a forced trade issue, John. I think the Packers are like, either you play for us or you don't play for anybody. We're not going to trade you. And, some of the things you hear, you just hear mixed messages. We're still really far out. But at the same time, not that far out. So some people are like, they don't see him coming back or he's going to take this deep into training camp. Other folks are like, he could come back, but there's got to be some things. I mean, this issue is now with Aaron Rodgers and the coaching staff, his teammates, with the city of Green Bay. It is with management, and it is, from everything I've heard, it is not good. So this is a philosophical thing it's the same thing, John, we saw play out with Favre and Ted Thompson. We know how ugly that was at the back end of Favre's career. In large part because Favre kept retiring, unretiring, this and that. Part of that was because he was disgruntled because they weren't going out and getting him Randy Moss and players like that. And so the fact that this is kind of repeating itself is interesting. And look, if Aaron Rodgers says, okay, I won't play. I'll pay back money. I won't get $30 million this year. He's still a young man in life. He, with his name and his brand, he can recoup that money off the field. It's just money that he'll never necessarily gain in that type of lump sum from playing football. But I just think Aaron loves the game so much that the possibility of him playing in Green Bay this year still remains.
Yeah. Of course, the one thing is that, he's already got $6.8 million in his pocket from the roster bonus that he had in March. So he's got some money to play with that he could lose maybe a game check or a couple of game checks if necessary.
Yeah, I mean, there's that as well. I mean, and let's also not forget, he is a generationally wealthy man. He's already made a boatload of money as it is. So, I mean, it's not like he's a fringe player trying to hang on. He could retire right now and be good for the rest of his life.
Now, the other interesting one, I know Kareem Jackson brought this up yesterday with his former teammate. He says that he's been talking to Deshaun Watson for several weeks, and Deshaun wanted to get out, that he wants to go to the Denver Broncos. One, I don't know if Denver ownership would allow that to happen. Two, we know that Houston's saying they're not going to trade him. And three, we don't know where the league stands on him. So how do you read the Deshaun Watson situation with his 22 lawsuits and not being able to be deposed until February 22nd of next year?
Yeah, I think Deshaun Watson will not be playing football this year anywhere. I mean, look, what owner could sell Deshaun Watson to his fan base right now with these allegations hanging over him. I mean, you can't do it. If you're supposed to be serious about your character policy of sexual misconduct, the league policy of sexual misconduct, even, you know, regardless of what's going on, it's too much. There's too many questions to take that on right now. So I don't think there's any team that would trade for him, even if the Texans said, hey, it's his first seventh round draft pick. Now, next year, we'll see. I mean, we'll know about the depositions. There's time for Deshaun to do character rehab. There will be teams that say, like, Denver might need a quarterback. And they'll say, okay, we're going to go for him. We've checked out his background. We've seen teams do this with guys before. We've checked him out. We're going to take a flyer on him. We're going to hold him to a certain standard. You know, Tyreek Hill, the stuff with, you know, that he did in Kansas City, and Andy Reid put all these parameters around him. Same with Michael Vick when he came back out of prison, when Andy Reid took him back. So we've seen these before. But overall this year, it's going to be, you know, Ty Taylor's going to be quarterback for the Houston Texans. It's going to be it is not going to be a good year down there. They could have the first overall pick. You know, that could also help facilitate getting Deshaun out of town, because they could take the hot quarterback and say, okay, now we're going to trade Deshaun.
Which makes a lot of sense, but yeah. But how crazy have you looked back at this year as far as quarterback movement and also just quarterback intrigue?
It's like none other.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the last 2 years, though, John, when you think of Tom Brady going to Tampa Bay. And just, you know, but then this year you've got Jared Goff and Carson Wentz, number one, number two picks getting traded. You've got, you know, all this stuff with Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson. You know, it is just, you know, Matthew Stafford getting out of football Siberia and coming to a team where now they look like they could be the team coming out of the NFC West. So just a whole lot of intrigue. And then you add some of the draft pick, you know, scenarios, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields in Chicago, you know, what's going to happen? Jimmy G clearly is on the green mile in San Francisco. He's going to play this year, but he'll be gone next year because of them drafting Trey Lance. So that's just absolutely incredible. And the funny thing is we haven't even really talked about what we normally talk about with quarterbacks, and that's contracts and contract extensions. This is unhappy guys, new guys, guys on the move. Instead of the money thing, which is usually the big atom bomb that we go through every year when we're talking about quarterbacks in the NFL.
I know. It's been remarkable. Steve Wyche, and Steve, I thank you for joining us, the NFL reporter for the NFL Network. You can catch him on Twitter at Wyche89. Hey, Steve, thanks for joining us on Schooled with a Professor.
Always, John.
And that does it for this week's podcast. In between episodes, you can follow me on Twitter at ClaytonESPN. If you enjoy these weekly one-on-one conversations, consider leaving a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to the show. Thanks for listening. See you next time on Schooled with a Professor.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.